Genesis chapter 4, these are familiar passages. We've certainly looked at them before here at some point, not in the last few years, but let's follow up from the disciples' argument this morning that we looked at, and Jesus' teaching in response to it as to who would be the greatest. And rather than the highest, the king types, Jesus pointed them to be like children, without rank or ability in this world, without anything to offer, and not just children, but infants. They have potential, but they have no status as meaningful in the sense of productive labor and such in this world. And Genesis chapter 4 is our first chapter in the Bible following the fall. And so it really could start back a few verses in chapter 3, but chapter 4, verse 1. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. But he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Now Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Let's pray. Lord, we realize by theory the mess that we are in when we are selfish. And today's world is ever more drunk with pride. And Lord, the efforts that we make are often centered around the pride of men. That men's pride must be stroked these days to see any kind of outward good. And Lord, we can't even touch the heart then. So we pray, Lord, for some understanding again tonight with the nature of man after this awful fall that we are all in. Lord, may it be that we might be less selfish by your grace, because, Lord, that is one of the things we do as your children. We are those who take up our cross and die, deny ourselves, and follow you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A good idea isn't always obvious at first, but it usually has a pretty good start. If we decide something is a better way to go, as Adam and Eve decided, then we would hope for immediate good from it. And what we find instead of that is that everything bad happened. So when Adam and Eve sinned, all the good that they had and that we had in them went away. They were ashamed. They knew they had sinned. They knew the difference between good and evil. They had a knowledge of good and evil. They ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's not so much a magic tree, it's the fact that it was forbidden. And once it was eaten of, it was the determiner of the fact that now man knew evil as well as good. and they became evil. They tried to hide from God. What a thing to do. And, of course, could not. And then the pristine creation had the bloodshed for the first time. Animal coats made, coverings for the man and woman. And so from then on, things have not been as bad in every generation as another generation, but they've been bad. We did not have the kind of earth that was designed. Now, of course, God is sovereign. Same with the angels. There are angels that sinned and there are angels that did not sin. And it's not that any of this catches God by surprise. It's known by him and even ordained for his glory. But as far as men are concerned, every problem you have this week is related to this. Every difficulty, everything we hear about, everything that happens in the world, all the bad things that go on, all the deaths that take place, all the sicknesses that occur, all can be traced back to here. And the nature of pride is that we're okay. That we have a lot of good in us. And we can accomplish a lot. And we have optimistic future ahead of us. You hear it from the politicians. Oh, it's a bright future. And they're going to bring it to us. Every politician from the beginning of time is going to bring us that. Every king is going to bring that in. Every graduate from colleges, they're going to bring in a whole new world. This is all the same world. And Ecclesiastes tells us that vanity of vanities, all is vanity. It's all the same. And it is all centered in God. If we have any meaning in this world, it's got to be with God. So our thought is, though, in pride, who can be the greatest? Who can make the greatest impact? That's the thing that presidents are concerned about. What is their legacy? What legacy? It's interesting with presidents, what they often do is toward the end of their presidency, they start thinking about their legacy. And they start doing things maybe that would help their legacy to be better. Meaning they've pretty much blown it for 7 years, and now they're trying to scrape up something at the end that they might be remembered by better. And men think that they can make a good legacy out of the world. Well, what happened? What happened when we got full of ourselves? What happened when Adam and Eve decided that, yeah, okay, we get God's opinion on this matter, but we're just going to go our own way? What happened when they chose to move in that direction? Well, the first thing that we see is murder. Adam knew Eve, his wife, verse 1. She conceived and bore Cain and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she bore again, this time, his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So you got to two guys here. The Bible doesn't give every birth that happens. There's no women mentioned here. Obviously, women were born as well. We are given the people that we need to know about. In the genealogies, we're given people that move the line of the Messiah through Israel and on. We get that. We don't get everybody. The names in Scripture, a few hundred, or even if it was 1,000, which I don't think it is, but it's just a few. It is a very targeted, very limited means of bringing us through history. And so Adam and Eve bore Cain and Abel. And it's a little bit like, when there were four cars in the entire United States, and two of them had a head-on collision in Chicago. So it's that kind of thing. You got two people here, and in the days that just following the fall, and you've got good and you've got bad. You know good and evil, just like the fruit of the tree said that they would have, the knowledge of good and evil. And so one of the brothers, Abel, kept sheep, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. I used to think that Cain's problem was that he didn't offer a blood sacrifice to the Lord. I don't believe that that is really what the problem was with Cain. I think Cain's problem had nothing to do with that he was a farmer of a, you know, whatever came from the ground, and that Abel was a keeper of sheep, and that God likes sheep more than, you know, corn or whatever. And you see verse 3 that they brought an offering. Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat. Now that's why you get people who say, you know, that's what Moses proclaimed in the law. The firstlings of the flock and of their fat. And so that must be what the problem is. Well, it's not the problem, I don't think. I don't think Cain brought his offering with the same spirit that Abel brought his offering. I believe it's that. The things that they brought, you know, in the law, there was also the offering of the first fruits of the ground. So if you want to talk about the law, yeah, you had the sheep, but you also had the first fruits of the ground. The ingathering, the harvest had various means of giving of the first fruits of your ground if it was a farmer farming the ground. So I think that's a washout there. It's not one over the other. It's not that Cain decided to have a crop of something that the Lord wouldn't like to see. That's just, I think, is a little bit off. And that Abel had the sheep, and God loves sheep, and you know. And then the Lord says later, all we like sheep have gone astray, so he can't like them that much. So it says that he respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And the reason for that was because of the person. Now, you could also err in the offering, but there's no mention of that here. It's just that there was dissatisfaction from the Lord with Cain. Now, it could have been like this, that Cain did not want to bring the offering. Cain did not want to waste some of the produce of his field for an offering. And that would have been a proper thing to bring, but with a bad attitude. And Abel could have done the same thing. Abel said, well, I shouldn't have to give away my... But he didn't. He had a good attitude, a proper offering. So I don't think the blood aspect is really the matter here. It is the attitude. And we see in verse 5 that I think this is borne out. Because Cain, when the Lord did not respect his offering, was very angry, and his countenance fell. A quality person, a noble man, hearing that God did not like the way he was bringing his offering, would seek to correct that. Lord, I am sorry. But he didn't. He got mad. He became angry. His countenance fell. He pouted. When your countenance falls, you have that morose kind of depressed visage that you display. You're moping around. You don't have the joy of life. You're angry. You're bitter. You see, he's not upset with himself. He's upset with the Lord. He's not saying, how could I be this way? I'm so bad. Why did I do that? He's upset with the Lord. Because the Lord should have either not asked for it or received what he brought no matter what. You see, his anger is with the Lord. And his countenance falls. And he gets the absolute best advice ever in the history of mankind for his problem. You could write a whole book, by the way, about the alternate advice that you would get today for Cain. That'd be a good book, actually, for somebody to write. Advice for Cain, other than the Lord's. Well, the Lord gave a very succinct corrective to Cain. The Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry, and why is your countenance fallen?" In other words, you ought not to be angry, and your countenance should not have fallen. See, we make things harder for ourselves than they need to be. So by doing the wrong thing, he has anger that he shouldn't have, and his countenance, his outlook on life, has become sour. And it doesn't have to be. So the Lord says, do this. If you do well, will you not be accepted? And again, the focus is on Cain. It's not the offering. If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. There you have it. Really, the advice is taken up in one verse, verse 7. If you do well, will you not be accepted? So, he did not do well. He was not accepted. He's upset that he wasn't accepted. So the solution for Cain is that God change his nature so that he would accept what Cain brought and how he brought it. The other solution is that you would please God. And if you do what God wants, and if you please the Lord, then you'll be accepted. Now that will solve that other problem. But you see, and tying it to what we saw this morning, that would require Cain to admit that he was wrong and humble himself and correct his behavior. And he didn't do it. But if he had have, he would have been fine. If you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Now there is the scheme of things, that his actions lay him open to sin. Sin is just at the door. Sin isn't way on the other side of the field. Sin is right at the door, and right now is the time, Cain, that you have to rule your spirit. Rule over sin. Sin is depicted there by the Lord as like a character. Sin lies at the door. Its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. It's like a person. But sin is inside of him. He's already sinned. And now the issue is, what will you do about it? And since sin is at the door, the thought is you better do something now. Because if you don't do something now, sin is going to defeat you. And it desires to do so. And so what does he do after the Lord counsels him? After the Lord tells him how to fix this. Verse 8. Now Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose against Abel his brother and killed him. Well, of course. That fixed it all, didn't it? That just solved the whole thing. Because, again, is the problem Abel? Is Abel the problem? That's why the talk today of racism is not being solved, is because no one is going to the root of that. It's not about race. It's about sin on every side. And there are people who are stirring up race to get their own way, and there are people who are stirring up race because they want to have privileges, and there are people who stir up race because, you know, they actually hate other races. I mean, it's all around, and the problem is not going to be somebody standing up and, you know, saying, well, let's just get rid of this race. Well, yeah, great. The Lord counseled Cain about how to get out of this, and what does he do but run headlong into the problem? He opened the door and invited sin right into the house. Goes out and talks to Abel, and you can imagine what kind of talk that was. What do you mean bringing a good sacrifice and being right in the sight of God when I'm not? Who are you? Not better than me? I'm the oldest anyway, and kills him. Chapter 4. Now remember, back in chapter 3, Eve looked on this fruit, and whoa, boy, she saw some good things there. She was assured by the devil that she would not die. And so she saw in verse 6 of chapter 3 that it was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise. Well, of course it did. She was so wise, it made her so wise, it made her children so wise, that the counsel of God was rejected, and he goes out in the field and kills Abel. That's how wise it made them. Brilliant. And then, he's still proud. Verse 9. The Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? Now he gets snippy with God. Here's the way of pride. You cannot admit that you're wrong. You cannot say that I want to correct myself. He is so full of pride. He has allowed sinful pride, to just make him a madman. So he's now mouthing off at God. What are you asking me? I'm not my brother's keeper. It makes him foolish and dull, darkened in his mind. He's still angry. And he says in verse 10, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. Oh, well, there's a thought. Who could have known that God already knew where Abel was? Not Cain. Am I my brother's keeper? When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth. And Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Surely you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth. And it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me. And you know, I find that kind of darkly humorous. He's still concerned about himself. That's the way of pride. My punishment is more than I can bear, not because he's sorry, but because his way is going to be hard now. He won't be able to farm like he's been doing. His precious crops that he maybe didn't want to bring to the Lord, he can't even grow them at all now, because they're going to fight him. The ground's going to fight him now more than ever. Now I've got to roam around the earth. Somebody's going to kill me. So the Lord makes a mark on Cain, so that whoever kills him, the Lord will take vengeance upon him sevenfold. We don't know what the mark was. I've heard all kinds of things. Probably you have too. But he got a mark. And Cain still, as he gets out of this meeting with the Lord, he's still proud. His people were proud. Verse 16, Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod, on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch. And he built a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. To Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begot Mahujael, and Mahujael begot Methushael, and Methushael begot Lamech. And Lamech took for himself two wives. The name of the one was Ada, and the name of the second was Zillah. And Ada bore Jabal. He's the father of those who dwell in tents and have livestock. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all those who play the harp and flute. And as for Zillah, she also bore Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every craftsman in bronze and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. Then Lamech said to his wives, Ada and Zillah, "Hear my voice, O wives of Lamech, listen to my speech. For I have killed a man for wounding me, even a young man for hurting me. If Cain was shall be avenged sevenfold, then Lamech 77-fold. I'm not sure if he was proud of what he did or not. It's almost like he's one-upped his more famous predecessor. This is how it starts. And if you flip over to Genesis 11, it's chaos. This is a tree desirable to make one wise. That's what Eve said. It is a tree desirable to make one wise. This is what she thought. And what you have from that moment on is foolishness of the most vicious and evil kind. So we get to 11, and after the flood, this is after the flood, and chapter 9, verse 1, when the flood was over and they came off the ark, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." So this was their job to do. In chapter 11, verse 1, it says the whole earth had one language and one speech. Of course, that would be the most logical way to be. The Lord made people, and they all had the same language and speech. It came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, that we be scattered, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth," which the Lord said that they should be. So the Tower of Babel then is a construction project, but it is not just a construction project. It is an outworking again of the rebellion of men who are proud. To make a name for themselves, to unite in this one place with this tower that stretches to the heavens. And they did not consider in any way what the Lord wanted. In fact, they rejected what they had been told previously. They were to fill the earth. They were to go forth and fill the earth. And they decided to stop. Build the big tower. Verse 5, the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, "Indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language." And this is what they begin to do. "Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them." You see, there's the Lord's attitude toward them. They have come together in an evil way to push their own name and to carry out their own plan. This is what pride is about. And we looked this morning at James 4, which says the Lord resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. It's not just in the New Testament that we see that. It's a proverb that says that. And we see it all the way back here into Genesis 11. Here the proud come together to make a name for themselves. We can't discount the thought that they would have had a idolatry connection to it in some way. They were focused on the tower, and there's not much said about that, except that it was evil, and it was not the plan of God, and they did not consider that. And so, probably thinking they could unite together and be strong as one and continue on, that seems to be what they were thinking, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. Let's bind our hearts together and make ourselves the way we want to be. Let's not get out by ourselves. And I can envision that what the thought was pertained to the fact that if they got together to do what they chose to do, then they would not be again destroyed. They would carry it forth. Still that same proud spirit. Cain had it as an individual. He splashed that influence on his children following him. And here we have the same way. This bind together and do what we want. And the Lord said, no, that's not going to work out in my plan. So he says, verse 7, come, let us go down and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Now remember what the plan was. Back in Genesis 9, verse 1, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And they said, nope. We're going to build a city. We're going to build this tower. It's going to be a great tower, and it must have been. And they united their hearts together to be together and to do this and to make the first really big city and have all their needs met from within. Self-sufficient, self-providing. And they would not go and fill the earth. And so what the Lord did was confuse their language so that they didn't understand each other. And as a result of that, verse 8, the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth. So the Lord resisted them and accomplished his plan for them because they no longer could understand each other, so they couldn't bind themselves together to build this place. They scattered like he wanted. Therefore, it's verse 9, therefore the name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. This is the way of the proud, to be rejected and resisted by God. To think that they can win, to think like Cain, he can kill his brother and he'll be fine. Instead of listening to the counsel of God, the proud man just does his own thing. These people build a city rather than listening to the counsel of God, listening to the commands of God, going out and spreading themselves over all the earth. It was the same thing with the judges, with the kings. The reason that Saul was in, and Saul being a proud man himself, Saul the king of Israel, it was because the people didn't want to trust God. They wanted to trust God. They wanted a king to trust. They wanted a king to go out and fight their battles. In the judges, they had to always go back to the Lord and say, oh Lord, we've sinned. Please help us and forgive us. And they had to repent. Well, they wanted to cut through all that and just go to the king without repentance and say, king, go fight the people and get them out of the land. We don't have to submit ourselves to the Lord anymore and wait for him to send a judge and a deliverer, and then we fall back into sin. We just want to have it all the time with a king. This is what their plan was, and that's why the Lord was so angry with them and thundered at them, because they were rejecting not Samuel, they're rejecting the Lord. That is the way of pride. And I started back here just to view it in Genesis, but you could just go from here on all the way. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Cain, pride, destruction, a fall. The Tower of Babel, the city they meant to build, pride, destruction, a fall. Because if you're not right in the eyes of God, then your pride is not to sustain you. And so when Jesus talked to the disciples and to us about pride, he's really cutting to something that is at the very core of our lives. Those who exalt themselves will be abased. And those who are will deny themselves will be exalted. And this is the way of our walk in this world. And the proud like Cain don't even listen to that. But that is the outworking of pride. And you see it just from here all the way out. And unfortunately, we'll see it all this week in the world around us. Let's hope it's not found in us. Let's all stand. Jerry, would you dismiss us?